that you are tuned into Radio Islam Live. Lines will be open. It is now 2:08. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are tuned in to the Ummahat show. Welcome back. Ahlan wa sahlan. It's good to be back on another Monday, inshallah.
Inshallah. Last week we had quite a bit of SMSs and calls and all of that. Unfortunately, there was no time to cover everything. So I'm going to start off with a message that we received last week. It starts off like this. Assalamu alaikum, sister. I personally think, why sisters sometimes lose your self-esteem. You get married, you have children, your body changes, and then you get those men that bring you down by insulting you, by calling you names. So we start to withdraw. Please keep us anonymous. Great talk. Assalamu alaikum. So that was the messages, one of the messages that we received last week, alhamdulillah. And I think it would be a good start to this week's session, inshallah, and show that a lot of us are walking around with these labels that people have placed on us, be it when we were young or as we grew up, and someone called you something, and or you got married and your husband said something to you, or your children are telling you that you're getting old, or they're saying things about you, and so you're getting flack from all sides of life and all walks of life. And so the message that we got, it was very disheartening to read, because it's like almost as though you are a certain kind of person, and then you get married, alhamdulillah, you're so confident and all of that, and you get called something by your husband, by the person you've entrusted your life in his hands, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you think to yourself, now this man is calling me fat, or this man is calling me dark-skinned, or something like that, and it's just the insults that we are getting becomes labels that we have attached to ourselves. Now the reason why I'm saying we have attached to ourselves is because listeners need to internalize the fact that if you don't make something personal, it will never be personal. If your husband says that you're putting on weight and you don't internalize it, it's all up to you. You see, the answer is you, the solution is you, everything about this show is you. So all these labels that are attached to us, namely, we are putting on weight, we're getting darker, we're getting older, all of these things, it's being termed as labels. Now, a label could be a good thing, a positive thing, or an extremely negative thing that you carry with you your entire life. And unfortunately, we walk with these labels with us everywhere. So I'm going to give you an example of a girl that possibly got engaged, and alhamdulillah, it was her first serious proposal, and all of that, things are getting serious. It's, you know, she's starting to picture her future together with this person, and maybe 2 or 3 days before the whole function, things get called off. Maybe the boy calls the function off. And then she starts thinking to herself, what if I'm not good enough? What if this happened to me because, I don't know, maybe I said something, or I did something, or I'm not good enough, or, you know, maybe I'm not marriage material or something like that. And so we start labeling ourselves in our own minds. So it said that take care of how you speak to yourself, because only you are listening. So if you are that girl in the situation and you're telling yourself, I'm not enough, I did something, something's going on, maybe, I don't know, I'm not strong, what if I don't fall in love again, what if I never find love again, then you are attaching labels to you. Now I'm going to teach you guys something. The only label that you should attach to yourself is your name. The only label that you should attach to yourself is your name. So Tasneem, can you maybe enlighten us, do you know what your name means?
I know my name is one of the fountains in Jannah.
Okay. SubhanAllah. And how can you, how do you internalize it? How do you personalize it to yourself?
Okay, my name is Tasneem. So, and it means it's one of the names of the fountains in Jannah. So if you think of a fountain, yeah, it's a place where you'd go and sit and, you know, enjoy the tranquility and the calmness. It's a place where you go and have fun with the family, yes, and enjoy yourself. It's a very pleasant, recreational place to be around. And alhamdulillah, in the type of field that I'm working in, and that's my passion, you know, psychology, and inshallah, helping the ummah and, you know, like, accept all our intentions, a lot of people tell me that I bring a lot of calmness to, yes, you know, when I enter the room, or when they speak to me, they feel very calm. So it's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm not saying this with any amount of pride or anything, but we really just need to take on the characteristics of our names. So we each need to look at our names and see how much of our names are we actually embodying and, you know, displaying in our existence, inshallah.
And so, you see, the thing is, so your name is Tasneem, and you've taken it to mean that you create that calmness. Wherever water flows, things flourish, right?
I don't know if everybody would agree with that, but most people.
And also, it's how you take it, because how you see yourself is how other people see yourself, right? So, know what your name is, know what it means, and if there is a label that you're going to be attaching to yourself, let it be your name, because then if someone says, who are you? What are you? Then you say, I am Tasneem, and my name means this. Mm-hmm. And wherever water goes, things flourish. And so, inshallah, I want to be the kind of person, wherever I go, people benefit from me.
Ameen. May Allah give us this ability to live up to our names, inshallah. Abba Zahra, what does your name mean?
See, my one is a strange one, because I get called Zahra, Zahira, Zahida, and I respond to all of them. But my name is Zahira. And my name, what I've been told it means unique and outstanding.
And you surely are unique and outstanding.
I mean, so, no, having said that, it makes me feel like in everything I do in my life, I need to be unique. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't want to be average. I don't want to be like everyone. If my name is Zahira, and I label myself as Zahira, then I need to do things and be things in the eyes of Allah that is outstanding. And not necessarily look-wise. Because a lot of us, when we talk about labels, you see, if you've noticed, Tasneem spoke about a quality, like calmness and tranquility. I'm telling you about being someone that is different. Not being like everyone else. Now it's got nothing to do with the way I look. So a lot of us, we label looks. And that is not who you are. And I like to say this joke when people ask me what my name means, because my dad was once looking at me and I was standing outside. And so someone's like, where's Zahira? And he said, she's standing outside, just like her name. Her name means outstanding. Every time you look for Zahira, she's always outside. So whenever I think of that, and it's so appropriate because we're always outside, alhamdulillah, and we're always trying to be better. We're trying not to stagnate. And so, alhamdulillah, we've labeled ourselves in accordance to our names. So it's got nothing to do with pride. It's got nothing to do with trying to be better or belittling someone else or our features or anything like that. But alhamdulillah, if that's my name, then that's what I'm going to strive to be.
I think it will be a good activity for all the listeners out there to just find out what your name means and then try and embody the qualities of your name, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just tuned in, ahlan wa sahlan, you have joined the Ummahat show with Abba Zahra and Tasneem.
Okay, so we were talking about labels and labeling before the break, and I think it would be worth mentioning that it's okay to say that, you know, we've all attached these labels to ourselves. We call ourselves chubby, we call ourselves dark, we call ourselves this and that, and whatever our aunt said while we were growing up, or our uncles called us, maybe our parents, you know, a lot of parents do this, and you shouldn't, is they compare one sibling to the other, and so I feel less educated or less talented than my sibling, and that's also a label, right? So it's all well and good to talk about these things, but I'm going to ask Tasneem that how do we break free from all of this?
I think before we continue, we loved your interaction last week, alhamdulillah. Unfortunately, we couldn't respond to all the SMSs, but we will do so, even if it's not on air, then off air, inshallah. The number to SMS is 082-551-3885. 082-551-3885. And please SMS, or you can call in the station, inshallah. So as we were speaking about labeling and, you know, finding out the meaning of your name and living up to those expectations based on the qualities of your name, I think the first thing is, like I said, finding out. So awareness. Awareness, I can't stress more on awareness, because awareness is the first step towards change. Apadaira, if you look around us, the world around us is seen and experienced through our own unique perception. So everybody sees the world differently, alhamdulillah. And you know, alhamdulillah, we both work in the field of psychology, me being a registered therapist and Apadaira also having her honors in psychology. And so many people, also at Madrasa where she teaches, so many people will come up to her and say, Appa, and they ask me also as their therapist, how do we know, how do we find our purpose and how do we find our true purpose? So if you really look at it, it's the difference between career versus your calling. Alhamdulillah, I was so lucky finding myself in a career like the thing, you know, counseling and therapy and all of that, because alhamdulillah, I truly believe that this was also my calling, subhanallah. It's also the difference between satisfaction versus fulfillment. It's also the difference between interest and a passion, and I think this is where it all really stems from, just being passionate about what we do.
Okay, and if you had to help us, like there might be a listener thinking, I don't deserve love, and or maybe my mother told me I'm too picky or choosy, and so now she addresses herself as being that I'm just picky, I'm choosy, and I'm like this and I'm like that. How if you had to give us a step one to focus on to free ourselves from these shackles?
I think what we really need to do is just drop all these labels. First of all, just drop all these labels, focus on your passion. Like you said, focus. And we really need to live in the here and now. And focusing on your passion is where it all starts. So, and I always tell my children this, that if you find your passion, you will never work a day in your life, because your work actually becomes fun.
Definitely.
I know you travel from town to town teaching people, and you see so many students, alhamdulillah, but does that tire you?
Not at all.
Actually feeds your soul. I sit for hours and hours listening to clients speaking about the most gruesome of events that are happening in their lives. But alhamdulillah, not that I enjoy listening to their stories, but I mean, this fuels my soul, because alhamdulillah, it's my purpose. It's like Allah Ta'ala has chosen us to do this work. So look within your life and find what your passion is. Passion is when you are operating and functioning from your heart. You know, this is heart work and soul work. And you know, they always say, never become too good at something you hate, or else you will be doing it for the rest of your life.
Oh,
you just get stuck in this humdrum of doing things, and you're not even enjoying what you're doing. Eventually, you become, like we said last week, a robot. So I think a good place to start is always asking yourself these questions, to internalize, and maybe the listeners can even write these questions down. Number one, what are your natural talents? What are your God-given talents? What are your ni'mat, the things that Allah has blessed you with? Things that come to you naturally. You don't even have to think about doing these things. You know? Number two, what do you enjoy doing? It has to be fun. If there's no element of enjoyment or recreation or fun, you're going to get bored doing it. And this is human nature. Allah did not want us to suffer in dunya. With all its trials and tribulations, we need to take everything in our stride. But we also need to be, you know, have fun while we're doing things. Number three, what is something that you just can't stop talking about? You know, that is your passion. Alhamdulillah. So we also have to read, we have to write, we have to talk about it, talk to people that are in that field, do your research, educate yourself. Our whole religion, alhamdulillah, is based on the word Iqra. So educating yourself is actually empowering yourself, and by doing this, inshallah, you will find your passion. That's how you get closer and closer to your mission and closer to your purpose in life. And we're not saying it's going to be easy. Alhamdulillah, we're all on our own journeys, and you know, we've all went through challenges and obstacles and hurdles, but alhamdulillah, it's definitely going to be worth it, inshallah.
You know, it makes me think about, you know, some of the students that we meet and all of that, and we interact with. There was a student of mine that had studied to become a doctor, alhamdulillah. And you know, for us, if you're a doctor, then wow, subhanallah, then you're successful in this world and in akhirat. So she became a doctor, alhamdulillah, and so educated and whatever it is. And after she had her children and all of that, you see, you must understand that at one point in your life, that's going to seem appealing for you. But then as life happens, different things become appealing also to you. And so she never ever really practiced doctor and all of that. She actually had her kids, all of that. And then she started cooking and then taking pictures of those things, Instagramming it, showing it to everybody, teaching them recipes. She became so talented. She found her strength within her hands, the fact that she had such creative ideas and all of that. So, yes, it takes a while to get where you are and to find out what your passions are and what your strengths are and all of that. But once you find it, take it and embrace it wholeheartedly, because when you find your strength, understand firstly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given every single human being a strength. So some people have the strength in their voice. They might not be models, they might not be doctors, they might not be whatever it is, but maybe they can sing. And so they sing and that's their talent and they use that to get closer to Allah. Others can cook. You know, others just have the ability to raise the most amazing children. And so work on whatever your strength is.
That's so important. Alhamdulillah, we've been given this life. And with this life, subhanAllah, Allah has given us gifts and talents and blessings. And Abu Zahra, these are all the ni'mas that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with. You have been given this miracle called life. You know, we need to look at our life and say, subhanAllah, this is a miracle. This is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And saying that we have been blessed with a kalima. You know, how fortunate are we that we walk around with this beautiful kalima in our hearts. And it doesn't even end there. If you look further, we're even a part of this ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most beloved creation of Allah is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we belong to this ummah, you know. So do we even understand what all of this means?
I don't know. I don't know, but I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
I think that Instagram, Facebook, the people we see on social media has taken a bigger role in our life. Then when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah does not look at your features or your wealth, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks to your heart and your actions. So now, when I put on my phone and I open Instagram, that hadith is forgotten. Our purpose of life is forgotten. Because what your eyes can see immediately, as opposed to what your heart knows and believes, is just two completely different things.
Like I said, we've totally forgotten, never mind the hadith, we've even forgotten who we are. Today as Muslim women, we suffer from identity crisis.
No, for sure.
We don't know who we are. Yes. We don't know the ummah that we belong to. We don't even know who our Nabi is. Because we say things like, ah, it's just a sunnah. You know, just by making that statement, it's such a big statement, we really should listen to our words and ponder and sit and take it all in. So I'm asking you, my dear mothers and sisters, with this one life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, are we just going to sit on the couch and dwell? Are we just going to be upset about what someone said yesterday or the day before? Are you going to be so upset about something that you know that you're lacking or shortcoming? Are you going to be upset about something that happened like 2 years ago, or you know, something that people have forgotten about but you're still holding on to these things? Something like you said, your auntie or uncle called you ugly when you were growing up. These are all things that we hear on a daily basis, you know, with people that are suffering from depression and anxiety. Or it's something that my mom wasn't there for me when I was growing up, or your best friend betrayed you, or we hear that our spouses have cheated on us. So yes, there's bad things happening and Allah is testing us. And you know what, I've got news for you. There's always going to be tests, and there's always going to be tribulations, and then there's always going to be pain, and I don't want to be sounding negative, but this is the condition of the dunya.
Definitely. And also, those people that you are looking at on social media, they also have issues.
Exactly.
The perfect day in their life is what you're seeing. The perfect meal that they are eating is what you are seeing. But they also have problems. And you are idolizing them and making it as though they are the best thing since sliced bread and your life is a misery. You're very mistaken, because all the people that are looking normal and together and with it out there, everyone has something, some struggle that they are dealing with. But I think the newsflash and the main thing is that every person is still trying. And so, if you're not going to close one door, how do you expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ever open the next door for you?
I think we all need to take control. And like we started off this talk today, take focus. You know, put your focus on your mission, on your purpose, and just do your thing. You are unique. Like you said, Abu Zahra, your name means unique and outstanding, and each one of us have this quality, subhanAllah. So you need to own it. Take responsibility. That's when you actually start living. Stop shoving things under the carpet. Stop being numb. Start feeling your emotions. Make that shift from victim to survivor. Inshallah, after the break, we're going to be coming back and speaking more about social media.
We just got a message now, and I just want to read it out to the messages, because I think it's so appropriate to what we discuss now on show. It says that it's so scary that we are taught by social media that we need to be perfect. We hide our flaws, we hide our imperfections with filters, we sit on social media and look at all these perfect women and wish to be like them, when in reality there is no woman alive that is perfect. We all have our imperfections, but they are masked with filters and Photoshop. If you want to be perfect, let your heart grow into a rose that goes through storms and rain, yet still looks like the most beautiful flower in the world. You are beautiful with imperfections. You are gorgeous the way you are. You do not need to look up to others. You should be your own goals. SubhanAllah, I'm going to say the last part again. It says, you should be your own goals.
That's so beautiful, mashallah. To all our beautiful listeners out there, the number to SMS is 082-551-3885. And, you know, just speaking about social media, Fazaira, recently I came across such an interesting study that was done in London, I think. And it speaks about social media as the contributing factor to mental health problems such as anxiety and depression, sleep deprivation, body image issues, and that's just to name a few. So, alhamdulillah, it's playing havoc in our lives.
I don't understand how we've allowed these people. And you know what's the worst part is we're so influenced by social media, yet none of us even know who they are personally.
Instagram has 700 million users globally.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. It appears to be the social network having the greatest negative effect. And they named Instagram as one of the ones that are having the most impact on people, on followers.
Allah save us. You know, I look at the kids nowadays, and I'm sure you guys can completely understand where I'm coming from. It's almost as though they're born with the ability to use a tablet. And it's so scary that our kids are going to be exposed to this perfect image, this perfect lifestyle from such a small age. And it's because they're watching us stuck to our phones the entire day.
And unfortunately, it's the easiest babysitter. You know, and it's free, so it's easy for moms just to stick a tablet in an infant's hand instead of stimulating them.
I don't think that's the easy way out. I think there's so much more to life than just that, guys. Wake up. We don't need to be like everyone just because a child's crying. I mean, all of us sitting here listening to this show, think about when we were young. There was nothing to distract us, so if we were bored, we had to go outside and we had to play. And it made us better adults because I wasn't looking at what so-and-so was doing. We were just playing and we had no peek into another person's life. Now we're sitting in our rooms, on our bed, not exercising, not doing anything, looking at so-and-so on Eid day, her hair might be showing, and then making ghibat on top of it, and we don't even realize it. So I'm showing my child someone that I possibly knew, and I'm saying, look, we were in school together, but see what happened to her and see what happened to me. And so Instagram and all of that, besides it making you feel inferior, it's also causing us to make ghibat. It's also making us have a negative outlook on everything. It's also making us feel like if I have nothing to post on Instagram, then how boring is my life?
I think what you said just stood out for me, and you said it's a distraction. And that's Shaitan's biggest trick, is to distract us.
Yes,
distract us from the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's also creating unrealistic expectations and fears, phobias. We've all heard the terminology FOMO. Mm-hmm. We all have this fear of missing out. We want to know everything. You know, we need to keep up to date with whatever's happening. And doing all of this, it lowers the self-esteem and it creates feelings of depression and anxiety in individuals.
Definitely.
And then let us not even talk about cyberbullying, because that's going to take up a whole another show. And lack of sleep, because it's just basically time wasting. And this is Shaitan's biggest trick. Alhamdulillah, if you're running a business or you're running a home industry from Instagram and it's adding value to your life, then that's a whole different story.
Definitely.
But if you're just browsing and, you know, just, you know, going through other people's lives, and the problem really seems to be with reality versus expectation. We forget that what we see is not necessarily what really is, because the minute you hook onto your Instagram, you are seeing fitness models with the most perfect bodies, exotic holidays, photo perfect families, your friends' sons' medals on awards nights.
Man, you know what I can't handle is when people's their relationships are on Facebook, man, and it's like, he bought me this, oh my God, I love him. And it's like, can you not be happy in the confines of your home with your husband together? Share that moment instead of before you're even going to eat the thing your husband prepared for you. Like, oh, hold on, I want to take a photo of it, I want to show my friends. But what happened to enjoying things in the here and in the now?
And unfortunately, we are opening the door to the evil eye. All of this is resulting in envy and jealousy and leading to anxiety and depression.
Definitely.
We're not saying don't use these things. I myself use it personally, but we really need to control it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just keep checking yourself and see what's the purpose? Is it adding value to my life or is it destroying my life?
I bet you your whole day's mood can be destroyed when you wake up, you put on Instagram and it's like maybe your sister-in-law or something put up a post before you. She wore an outfit that was yours and then she posted it on Instagram. Your whole day is going to be messed up.
Never mind that. What if you looking at somebody's iftar pictures and they have like 20 savories on their table and unfortunately you only have samosas and pies.
I know it's going to destroy you. You see, and then the thing is we've lost the plot to the extent that we don't care anymore. So it alters our mood, it alters our emotions, but it makes no difference to us because we've all become these robots.
And especially if you're a person with low self-esteem, you're already not feeling good about yourself, and then you see somebody's table with 20 savories, and unfortunately or fortunately you've only made two, that's going to even make you feel even worse.
No, subhanAllah.
So, you know, from feeling not good enough, you're even going to feel more depressed and anxious about providing meals for your family.
You must understand something, that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed before you, Allah has put it in front of you as a ni'mat for you to enjoy. Not for the whole world's eyes to be on that thing also. It's been placed in front of you for you to enjoy. And then we wonder why our head hurts and our eyes hurt and all of that. It's because you're putting yourself out there. When a person has self-esteem and self-worth and all of those things and they know who they are, they don't need affirmation from everyone else. When they are happy, that's enough. When they are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's enough. When they've let go of all the labels people have attached to them, it's enough because you are happy within yourself. So I'm going to give you a few tips on how to let go of all of this baggage and to just break free from everything and everyone and be you. So, you know, we've constantly heard this, that you need to be in the here and the now. And it annoys us terribly when people say, be in the here and now. And we can't even understand what that means because, like, don't be ridiculous. There's so many things going on around us. So, how do we do this? So, firstly, for every single person, you either the kind of person where your past is holding you back. So you're unable to be happy today because you're so involved in your past that, oh my God, I did this, is Allah going to forgive me? Okay, if I'm going to go to Jahannam, I might as well carry on doing this. You're so stuck in your past, you're not even allowing Allah to show you what the future has for you. And then there's the other extreme of people who, they're so worried about their future that they're unable to even enjoy what Allah has placed before them. So two people. One is stuck in the past and one is so worried about the future. So when people say, be in the now, how do you get there? How do I enjoy today? We have students coming to Ummaha, to the madrasa, and they're sitting there, and while they're sitting there, they're on their phones, and they're talking to their husband, and they're sorting out rounds, and they're sorting out supper, and I think to myself, Allah has blessed you with free time now. And you are in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so enjoy it. So here's a tip for you. We have sunnah du'as to read every single day. We have du'as for waking up in the morning, for eating, for sleeping, all those things, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these du'as to make us conscious of what we are doing. So if you're eating, for example, and you forget to read your du'a, you're just going to carry on eating and eating and eating. But if you say, Bismillah wa ala barakatillah, you're going to tell your mind, there's food in front of me. Let me stop. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the name of Allah. Alhamdulillah, I have food in front of me. And so that will help you live in the here and now, even to the degree to where you go into the toilet. And some of us go into the toilet, the phone's in our hands, and we're like robots walking up and down. You sit on Instagram even in the bathroom, right? So what if you walked into the toilet and you said the dua for entering the toilet, and you became conscious of the fact that now you are in a napak place, your head needs to be covered, there's no ibadah that can be done in the toilet, and you need to get out as soon as you can because it's a place that is filthy. So by reading the masnoon duas, you actually bringing yourself into the here and now, because before and after every act that you do, you're remembering Allah, you're praising Allah, and it helps you forget yesterday and tomorrow. So if you want to know how to break free from all of these distractions that we have, here's a tip for you. Focus on your masnoon daily du'as.
SubhanAllah, that's such a beautiful way of exercising and practicing immediacy, you know, here and now, alhamdulillah, just by reciting your du'as at that appropriate time.
You see, people are always saying, I want solutions. Stop telling us what's wrong with us. Stop telling us that we look on our phones the whole day. Tell us what to do. How do we break free from it? And understand that your situation is never going to change unless you change. Your neighbor's not going to change unless you change. Your husband's not going to change unless you change. Your children are not going to change unless you change.
As they say, happiness is an inside job, so it starts from within.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that Allah will never change a nation until they do not change what is in within themselves.
You know, there's something I try and preach to all my clients, and I actually tell them to write it down and stick it onto their fridge or stick it onto their mirrors, and I want all the listeners to pay attention. There are only three kinds of businesses in the universe. There's mine, yours, and Allah's. That's it. And unfortunately, we have to go to Western institutions, and the kuffars have to teach us these things. But this is something that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us 1400 years ago, that there's my business, your business, and Allah's business. And if we can just learn to separate these three businesses, I promise you our lives will be so much less stressful and less, you know, we'll be less anxious and less depression and all of this.
Definitely. I don't know what has happened to us, that we were never like this. We were never like this, but we've become this way, unfortunately.
So just a quick rundown of whose business and how to define these businesses. So whose business is it if I'm feeling happy or sad? It's my business, because like we said, happiness is an inside job. Whose business is it if you are feeling happy or sad?
It's your business.
Yes, exactly. It's the other person's business. It's your business. And whose business is the weather? For example.
That is only in Allah's hands.
Purely Allah's business. So let's separate these three businesses. For example, if your daughter's wedding is after Ramadan, and whether it's going to be hot or cold or sunny or snowy, whose business is that?
It's only up to
Allah. So is there any point stressing about that?
Absolutely not.
Your business is to put the tent out, put the marquee up, and do what you need to do. But don't stress about the weather. Leave that in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands. Okay, and we'll be back after the break, inshallah.
It is now 2:50 p.m. and we've reached the end of our show, unfortunately. However, we just got a message now, and I think it would be so relevant to end our show with this, on this note, that a sister asked that, what do we do in the case where a lot of bad things happen, and a lot of bad things have happened, and I get told that, what so bad have you done that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done this to you? So in that case, what do you do?
You know, subhanAllah, sometimes we say the most inappropriate things. We don't realize the damage we do to individuals.
And that's such a powerful statement to make to someone already going through something so difficult.
And then sometimes we really sit and think, like, why don't I have a baby now? Why am I still single? Why is Allah putting me through this test, like the listener just said? Maybe you're still single because Allah wants to teach you how to love yourself first. You know, that's so important. Maybe he wants you to learn how to live without the constant reassurance and validation that you need. Maybe Allah has a plan for you. Allah knows that your journey is full of traveling, self-exploration. Maybe he's teaching you how to walk before you can run. You know, that's just something to think about. Maybe he's teaching you the same lessons over and over again because he wants you to learn the art of trying, the art of not giving up, the art of learning how to love. And yes, I'm saying an art because it takes skill and knowledge to actually, you know, it's a process before you actually learn these things, that you learn to live with disappointment and how to live with setbacks. It takes a lot of art and, you know, it's a process basically. Maybe Allah is trying to teach you not to be so hard on yourself and not to take everything so seriously. Maybe the lesson is just enjoying your life as it is, with all its ups and downs, as we rise and as we fall. Maybe He doesn't want you to be so obsessed about how others see you, like Abba Zaira said earlier, that we're so obsessed about our physical appearance. And maybe we need to break all the illusions and fantasies, like we spoke about last week, unleashing the authentic self. You know, letting go of this warrior queen within each one of us. Maybe Allah just wants you to understand that your life will never be perfect, and it will never go as planned, and you just have to try to love it and hang in there and love Him. You know, put your trust in Allah. It all, you know, starts with tawakkul, inshallah. And it's teaching us also that Allah is in complete control. Like I said, we need to separate these businesses. Before the break, we were speaking about these three kinds of businesses, and we really need to understand what is our business, what is other people's business, and what is Allah's business.
Definitely. And I think if if there are any of the listeners that have heard this from someone, where someone has said to you, you know what, it's possible that you've done something and that's why Allah has put this in your way, then you need to realize that they probably don't know what to say to you. And maybe they said that in just, they just don't know what else to say. So don't internalize it. Take what they've said and just throw it away. Because only Allah knows why He does certain things to you. And, you know, just to end off today's show, I'd like to say that there is an ayat in the Quran that sometimes a good word could be better than sadaqah that you give. So what is stopping all of us from, instead of criticizing everyone and watching them and what they are doing, what is it that we can't just say, don't worry, I'm going to make dua for you. It substitute that with all the mean things that you want to say, substitute it with something good. You know, there's a story of a boy that was once throwing a ball up and down. And while throwing the ball up, he was trying to hit it. And the first time he threw the ball up and he tried hitting the ball with his bat, and there was an old man sitting on the side and he's watching this whole scene, and he missed the ball. And the old man says, you know, mashallah, well done, you're really doing well. And the boy is looking at him and thinking, what am I doing well, because I just missed it. Then he threw the ball up again and he tried hitting it. He missed it, and the old man says, you know, mashallah, well done, even better than the first time. And the third time, the same thing happens. Each time he's throwing the ball up and trying to hit it with his bat, he's missing. Now the boy gets irritated, so the boy looks at this man, and he says to him, what is so good about this that I'm doing that each time you are praising me? So the man says, I'm not praising your batting skills, I'm praising your pitching skills. So the old man is looking at this whole thing, and it's something so negative, and he's missing each time, and he's feeling so bad about himself. But the man sees one good thing, focuses on that one good thing, and it turns the whole story upside down.
SubhanAllah, it's all about focusing on your positive. And, you know, much of our stress comes from mentally living out of our business. When I think you need to get a job, I want you to be happy, you should be on time, this is all, I'm in your business. You know, so really, I think our homework from this week to next week is just to write down these three businesses and try and focus on what is really our business. You will see you have so much more mental energy to focus on what really is yours.
Definitely. Alhamdulillah, we've reached the end of our show today. We look forward to hearing from you. Also, don't forget to find out your name, what it means, and to attach that label to you, inshallah. Let go of what was once said to you. Close that door and you'll see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up so many more doors for you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.